Hi, I'm Ridwan Bassadine, and I have Nicholas Blank, or Blank Man, with me. And we're talking about PowerShell 2. So, Nicholas, I'm familiar with PowerShell, and I've been playing around with it. I come from a background of being a batch file junkie and moving to VBScript, and PowerShell was really cool. PowerShell 1, get help, get member, all of those kind of cool things. Got a little bit out of it right now, but I'm interested in PowerShell 2. Why PowerShell 2?
Okay. Well, let's just go back a step to PowerShell 1. Okay. And something you would have found is really, really painful. If you take something like VBScript and WMI,
you've
got 18 lines of code, and you have to remember to do your impersonation, and things get really twitchy, and you get one thing wrong, and if you don't know what it's called, and spending a lot of time on MSDN, and you as an admin guy, you don't need that. You need stuff that works. You need to be able to remember it easily. And maybe you occasionally want to look up what the WMI classes are called. But you know what a lot of them are, but you struggle to get information out of them. So in PowerShell 1, what you could do very easily was get WMI. Yeah. And you could do something like get WMI win32 underscore bias, and it would bring back the bias, or the process, or the network card. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine on the one machine. So on your local machine, you're executing this stuff, and it's great. But what if you're an enterprise and you've got 2,000 machines or 100,000 machines? All of a sudden becomes really painful because you're still executing that WMI query on one machine. Now with PowerShell 2, we introduce a concept of remoting, where I can define that WMI query. So I'm just still doing a get WMI object, space win32 bias, but I can wrap that inside a command called psjob. Now I can start a new psjob and run that job on my machine, either in the background, or I can invoke an expression, which is the same way of doing it remotely, and give it a list of machine names. And I can run that same WMI query across 1,000 machines all at once.
So do I have to wait for this to complete, or?
Not at all. You define your query, and this is where it gets really exciting. Yeah. You define your query, and you give us a list of machines, and how many of them you want to run at the same time. So is it... are you throttling at 16 or 32 or 5? Maybe you've got WAN implications and you know your own environment, so you know how many you'd like to run at the same time. And you define the query and just let it run. And it runs in the background, and occasionally you can interrogate the state. Mm-hmm. So what is the status of the query? How is it running? Is it running badly? Maybe there's some errors. Maybe I want to stop the query altogether. Maybe there's some bad network links that I'm flooding. So maybe I want to stop the thing as well.
Okay.
But it's become simpler to manage because, again, I'm interrogating an object in PowerShell. Now it's version 2. So all the cool things you know from version 1 about objects and I don't want to use the word lightly, inheritance, because that's a scary word around objects, but objects and attributes and the niceness of it is available in version 2, but across many machines.
Awesome. What about the admins that want to do this and give other admins access to the same kind of thing? That was like one of the things. You got to have if you're gonna give this to someone else, hey, I've got to put this. Give this guy his gloves and don't do that and don't do that.
And and sometimes you had to fiddle around with your admin rights and you didn't know if you could really trust the guy. So, you wanted to sandbox the guy. Now, what we can do in PowerShell 2 is we can define run spaces. So I can say that in a particular run space, only a limited set of commands are available. So I might only be able to do gets, but no sets, no starts, no stops. So my sandbox might only be able to retrieve information but not action anything.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. What else is cool?
GUIs. Believe it or not, we've got GUIs in version 2. I can not only output to a CSV file or an HTML file like I could do in version 1, but I can output to a grid as well. So as an admin, things get a little bit boring every now and again. I actually want to have it as a GUI because it's useful. Maybe I'm running a management display. I can out grid now as well, and I've got it as a GUI. Version 2, I also get a free editor from Microsoft. So I've got an integrated development environment that I can execute my queries in. I can edit my scripts, and I can paste that up into the script editor, which is on the same page, and then save it as a script.
Wow, awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. So, PowerShell's always been something to kind of help admins that don't like coding or want to simplify doing the jobs that they want to do. Is there anything around that PowerShell is actually pushing the bar? I mean, things like, one of the things that I always get into is like writing these complex formulas and things. And it's always like very clunky and you know, there's so much more that I wanted to do with that. And I sort of getting back to the old, I get the old feeling back. Mm. Is there anything that you know, PowerShell 2 does better around that stuff?
Yeah, the PowerShell 1 had functions, so we got a little bit excited about that, but every language has had functions. Now, we have to remember that PowerShell is not only a scripting environment, but primarily an administration shell. Yeah. So I'm meant to live in it all day long.
Yeah. Okay.
Something my admin can do now is he can actually define his own commandlets. So
he can define his own commandlets.
Define his own commandlets. He doesn't have to know C#.
Okay.
He can actually define it in PowerShell. We support variabilization and full pipelining. So what
full
that means
pipelining
in English is that I can define my own commandlet, get sandwich. Okay. And I can pass parameters which I've defined, and it can output whatever it has returned, so my virtual sandwich, to the next pipeline, and so on and so forth. And it can sit at any point in the pipeline. We support full pipeline processing.
Awesome. Really cool.
It's very cool. It's probably one of the most exciting things to come out, that we have this amazing environment that supports objects, supports full .NET, and I can now write these teeny tiny .NET objects in script, in a script that I can understand and that I can learn really quickly.
Awesome. That's really cool. So, I mean, the PowerShell has gone from strength to strength. I know it's part of the common engineering criteria now.
Yeah.
You know, tell us more about what that means.
It means that nearly everyone needs to have some kind of familiarity with PowerShell. Common engineering criteria from Microsoft mean it's built in. So from 2009 onwards, every product in either the server market or the tools market has got some level of PowerShell integration built in, which means that a PowerShell admin will have an object for either SCOM, Exchange, or some of the common ones. IIS7 is very popular as well, SharePoint, all of which can be managed from inside PowerShell, which means I can create a SharePoint site from inside PowerShell, but then manage it as well.
Awesome, cool. Any other tips for the guys out there?
Learn from each other. Don't bother about reinventing the wheel all the time. There are amazing community resources. Microsoft has fantastic forums. There's tons of blogs. I'd suggest go to the PowerShell blog on MSDN and go to the scripting center on TechNet. Start reading some of the scripts and start playing.
Great. Well, there you have it. Thanks for sharing your insight with us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.